Well, good evening. I think we're 2 weeks away from ending our summer series here and getting back into our seasonal Bible studies, men's Bible study, women's Bible study. But just glad to see you all here. You guys are the faithful Wednesday attendees, you know, and I hope you guys have been blessed through the summer series as we look upon God's character and look at how He blesses us so tremendously, surpassing our needs with what He gives us. And it's always interesting. And tonight I'm talking about peace beyond measure. And if you could turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we'll start there. Philippians chapter 4. I think those worship songs were just spot on for what we're going to be talking about tonight. And blessed me as I was worshiping there, knowing what we're going to be talking about tonight. But Philippians chapter 4, let's read this together and then we'll pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening, and Lord, as we look upon this topic, upon this subject of peace, Lord, we know it's something that we all desire to have. And for those of us who do find it in you, Lord God, we are so thankful for it. And I just pray that tonight, Lord, as we get into your word, Lord, that we would be reminded, about how much that you want us to have this and how much you've given it to us. And Lord, that we would just simply receive what you have for us, Lord. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, I think it's very evident that since the fall of mankind that we've desired to live a life with inward peace. There's always this turmoil and struggle, and there's so many books out there about this topic, you know, and all kinds of gurus out there that you can speak with that want to help you out and just to find that inward peace. And it's even why Jesus even addressed it when he was here on this earth. He mentioned it. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And then he goes on to say, he says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" So we see that even 2,000 years ago, you know, that they were having the same problem that our society does. Society was filled with worry. They were filled with anxiety about life and all the struggles that come with it. And some of you know too familiar the inner struggles of being consumed with anxiety, how it can be so paralyzing, how it can ruin your health. And really, the sad thing about anxiety or worrying, and basically the contrast of peace, is that it really, these things, worrying all the time and anxiety, it's fruitless. I mean, how unproductive worry and anxiety really is, because after all the time of worrying about an issue, even as Jesus was saying, you can't change anything. You know, anxiety and worrying over something, over future fears or even present troubles, you know, it really, there's no practical change in any real situation because of our worrying about it, right? Our anxiety over it. But the great thing, this is what I want to talk about tonight, the great thing is that Scripture reveals to us that our God doesn't want us to live this way. He doesn't want us to live with anxiety riddling our bodies. You know, He doesn't want us to live worrying about all these things and being caught up in this. As verse 9 of our passage states, it says that he is the God of peace. And what's awesome is that you can find that in five other letters in the Bible where they call him the God of peace. He's the God of peace. In fact, one of the most given commands by God in the Bible is this: do not be afraid. And usually it's accompanied with something like, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. That's what God says to us, one of the most given commands by God in the Bible. He's the God of peace. And he wants us to live with a peace, but not just any peace. He wants us to live with what's called here in Philippians the peace of God. It's a true peace, the peace that comes from him. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so we see that there is a different peace there. There's the peace of God, and there's also this peace of the world. And there's a difference between the peace of God and the peace of this world. There's so much difference. I think one of the major things is the quality of the peace of God. The peace of God is a peace that's beyond measure, which is, you know, what we're titling this message tonight. But the peace of God is a peace beyond measure. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6 again with me. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says this, it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Jesus gives us his peace. It's a peace that surpasses or transcends our understanding. And that's because it's a peace that really, it defies outward circumstances. The peace of God defies outward circumstances. And, you know, if you think about it, guys, it's one thing to say that you're at peace when you live in a safe neighborhood with a wealthy country. You know, you're in a wealthy country in a safe neighborhood. Everything is in order and as it should be, right? I think anyone can have peace when they're in the midst of comfort, safety, and security. They can say, oh, yeah, I'm at peace. But the peace that we're talking about here is so different. The peace of God. It's when you hear Paul say that he was at peace even when he was in the face of hostility and violence for preaching the gospel. Even when he was facing hardships, when he was in need, he would say, I've learned to be content in every aspect that life may bring, in every circumstance that life may bring. And it's those situations that reveal the peace of God to be a peace that transcends or surpasses human understanding. You know, the world looks on at us in bewilderment because they don't understand how we can be at peace in the face of these hardships, in the face of evils. How can we be at peace? But that is the peace that God gives us. It's a peace beyond measure. It's a peace that defies outward circumstances. And it's a peace, as it says right here in Philippians, that guards and even rules our hearts and minds. And I thought of a great example. It was Horatio Spafford that wrote the famous hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. And we sing that here at this church. It's a beautiful hymn. Let me just share with you a verse from there. And this is what he wrote. He said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And then he goes on in the chorus, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Now, what I believe is most interesting about this hymn is not just what was written, but when the person wrote it. Horatio wrote it. If you guys know the story, I want to read to you just a little part of this article that I was reading. it says here, it says the Spaffords were quite popular in Chicago in the 1860s, but they were no strangers to tragedy. They invested in real estate north of the city. However, this was taken away from them during the Great Fire of Chicago in 1871. Prior to the Great Fire, that same year, the Spaffords suffered the loss of their four-year-old son to scarlet fever. In a desire to give his family a time to rest, they planned a trip to Europe. However, due to an unexpected business need, Horatio needed to stay behind for a few days while his wife and four daughters sailed ahead. 4 days after the ship departed, crossing the Atlantic, it collided with another sea vessel. It was reported that Anna took their daughters to the deck, where they knelt and prayed to God for their life to be spared. The ship sank in 12 minutes, carrying with it 226 passengers, including Horatio and Anna's children. Unfortunately, only Anna survived. They found her unconscious. The rescue brought Anna to Cardiff, Wales after 9 days, and she sent a telegram to her husband saying, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" And not long after, Horatio sailed out to join his grieving wife. And while on the vessel, as he passed near where his daughters died, he penned this very hymn, "It is well with my soul." You know, it's a crazy thing. I have daughters myself, and as I read that story and just thought that he could pen that at such a time, you know, that's a peace that surpasses our understanding. That's a peace beyond measure. That's a peace that the world just cannot give. This was the peace that guarded the heart and mind of Horatio Spafford on that day, and it's the same peace that God offers to each and every one of us. That's the same peace that we're all, that he's offered to each and every one of us. And so how do we receive the peace of God, this peace beyond measure? And I mean, just for the sake of tonight, you know, because I'm trying to keep it short, I'm going to talk about two things, because I think those two things are mentioned right there in the passage of Philippians. I believe Paul reveals to us two very important practices that allowed him to fully enjoy the peace of God in these crazy circumstances that he had to go through. And I believe will likewise also allow us to enjoy the fullness of God's peace if we apply these two practices in our life, these spiritual habits. The first one, I'm going to call it, is just for us to be thinking. And the second one is for us to be thanking. So I'm going to talk about those two things. But for us to be thinking and for us to be thanking. The first practice, thinking. Look at verse 8 with me, please. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And let's read what he says right here. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Now, it might sound like Paul is talking about, you know, well, let's just think about good stuff. Let's think about unicorns and rainbows and, like, you know, tropical islands that we get to vacation on, you know. But that's not what Paul means here. He's not just saying, hey, you know what, let's not think about the bad things. Let's just think about happy things. That's not what he's saying here, but what he's trying to help us to understand is what he's speaking of is really is of God, of doctrine, of theology, the study of God, to grow in the knowledge of God and his character and the promises that he's given us, right? He wants us to consider God and his character. He wants us to consider things like our salvation, to consider the hope of our salvation. He wants us to consider the promises that God has given us, that he's written down in the Word of God for us to read, that we can know because it says it right there. He wants us to consider the work that Jesus has accomplished on our behalf and what Jesus has gone through for us. And so this isn't just positive thinking. This isn't Eastern philosophy meditation, you know, where you kind of sit there and empty your mind. You stop thinking about your problems or whatever's going on for the day. Because the world offers that kind of peace, but it's a false peace. It's a peace that tells you to ignore your issues or to somehow try to get away for a moment or, you know, get some clarity for just a time being before you have to rush back into the busy lives that we have. But there's nothing transcendent about that. The peace of God, a true peace, it comes by us not emptying our minds, but filling our minds. Filling our minds with the truth. When we begin to think upon our salvation, when we begin to think upon heaven, the kingdom of God, those are the things. God wants us to remember what we have in Christ Jesus. It's in the very presence of God that we find the peace of God. Because in His presence, you will find all the promises, all the confidence of your salvation, all the hope and joy of heaven, of your destiny. And the peace of God comes from knowing those things. The peace of God is, I want to mention a few of them. You know, the peace of God is to know that you are confidently saved, to be confident that you are saved, that God, I mean, this is an amazing thing, and I know it's so simple, it's so basic, and yet it's one of the most precious things that we can hold on to, that God gave up His Son so that you and I could be forgiven and cleansed from our sin. Why? So that we could be brought into His presence, because He wants us in His presence. For no reason that we can give to Him, right? We don't deserve it, which makes it even more amazing, but that He loved us so, and He wants us to be in His presence. And so He made the way through His Son. And so now you know that you belong to God. You know that He loves you. And in that mindset, in that understanding, let me ask you, how can you ever doubt that He doesn't care about your situation? You know, you're going through these things in life, whatever they may be. They can be small, they can be big, but they're just things. And sometimes, you know, if you're like me, you can start to doubt, like, well, God, do you even care about this? Is this too small for you? Do you even care about this? Because I'm going through this thing, and it's really giving me a hard time, and I just can't see how you're going to pull me through this or how you're going to answer. And, you know, but looking at the cross, guys, we have our answer there. God does care. He cares so much that He's willing to give up His Son to save us, to bring us into His presence. And I think that's a pretty awesome thing. And so through Jesus, because of what Jesus has done through the cross, what's awesome is that we can now make peace with God and receive the peace of God. Because, and this is a cool truth as well, because the peace of God can only be given to those who have made peace with God. And we have done that by putting our faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ our Lord. When we did that, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we made peace with God and therefore are now able to be in His presence and receive the peace of God. But that's an awesome thing. The peace of God is to know you are saved and that Christ gave everything so that you could be brought into the presence of God. Also, the peace of God is to know that you have heaven waiting for you. I don't know how great or how terrible your life is right now. But what I do know and what I can share with you is that you have heaven waiting for you. And that's an awesome thing. John 14, verse 1 says, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions," meaning dwelling places. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, the world says things like this. They say, why did God create a world filled with evil? Why did he do that? Or they ask the question, you know, if God is so powerful, why doesn't he stop the evil in this world? And so it gets them frustrated and they're mad because they see evil going on in this world, but what they don't understand, what we get to know because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Spirit, that God didn't create an evil world, but that through the fall of man, evil and death corrupted the goodness and beauty of God's creation. And even though we, because of sin, deserve to be separated from God forever, yet God, because of his great love, he made a way to deliver us from the very evil that we brought into his creation. He made a way to deliver us from the very sin and corruption that we brought into our lives. He made a way to restore everything that has deviated from his goodness back to its original goodness and glory through his Son, Jesus Christ. He's going to do that one day. And we know that no matter how evil this world gets, that God will one day deliver us entirely from all evil, from all suffering, from all misery, from death. He's going to deliver us from all of that. And we will live in his presence. The presence of God will live there forever. And this hope, guys, it gives us the ability to transcend the hardships that are happening in our lives, the evils that come upon us. It gives us the ability to transcend those things, to look above those things and to realize that ultimately God will overcome even this circumstance that's going on in our life right now. And that assurance, it gives us such great peace to know that no matter what, we are going to be brought into so great a destiny. And so, right now we were just talking about how God deals with our past and how God deals with our future, but what about our present state? What about right now as I'm going through these things? How does he help me now? I know he has heaven waiting for me, that's great, and I know he's paid for my sins and that's awesome, but does he just leave me here now in my present state, you know, to fend for myself? And no, that's not how it is. The peace of God is also to know that you right now are in his presence. That through every trial that you go through, God is there next to you. That he's listening. He's listening to you. And he's working. Even though when you can't see it, he's working. He's working on your behalf. The outcome, it may not be what you expect, it may not be what you would want, but we are to rest in the fact that God is with us, that he will never leave us, he will never forsake us, and he will see us through these trials. The Word of God tells us that he will be our wisdom, that he will be our strength, that he will be our comfort. He will be what we need in that situation. His grace, it's sufficient for us. And so the peace of God, as I was saying earlier, is found. It's found in the presence of God. So think upon these things. Think upon God's character. Let's meditate upon the character of God often. Let's meditate upon, you know, the hope of our salvation often. To take time and truly dwell on these things. To truly understand it and be ready and prepared so that when you know, those storms of life come, as Jesus even said they will, that we're ready and that we will be at peace because we know who our God is and what he's done for us. And so that's what I call thinking, the practice of thinking. And now I want to talk about the next one. The next one is far shorter, but it's thanking. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the reason why I say thanking instead of praying is because I believe that it's the attitude that we ought to have when we pray. Because sometimes when we pray, sometimes we are really doing this thing where we're trying to counsel God. We're trying to tell him, like, well, you know, God, what you're doing right now is not working. And so I have some ideas, and I think this will really help me out. This will really make things easier, you know? And so we begin to counsel the Lord, which shows that we're not really trusting him. But when we pray, you know, let us pray with thanksgiving. And what I mean by that is let us be thanking him for what he has already done. Let us be thanking him for who he already is. What we already know about our God. Let us make our requests with this assurance in our hearts that our God, first of all, is a good God. And that our God, he knows all things and he knows what's best for us. And he is all powerful. He is able. He is able to make it happen. And he will. And so let us make our requests trusting that his way is the best way, whatever that way may be. And just thank him. Just thank him for who he is and what he's done. And say, Lord, here's my circumstance. And give me wisdom, Lord. Give me strength. Give me comfort. I trust in you and I thank you. Because whatever you bring my way, it is well. It's well with my soul. Because I know that you are a good God and I trust in that. Isn't it interesting that God just really loves our faith, you know? He wants us to trust in him. He puts us in these situations where we have to learn to trust in him, and it strengthens our faith, it strengthens our trust, and I always like to say that I think faith is God's love language, you know. But by practicing these two spiritual habits, we will be able to enjoy the fullness of the peace of God by thinking upon who he is and what he's done, and then by thanking him in our prayers, as we make these requests, as we let them know what's going on in life. Not to be anxious, but instead knowing and trusting he is God and he will make these things happen. I remember, as I close, I want to say this. And Mark, you can come on up. I remember it was a cloudy night and one of my kids said to me, they were really young, and they said, Dad, we had a moon roof, and so I had it open, and we're driving at nighttime. And they looked up and saw on the cloudy night, and they said, Dad, the stars, they're gone. Where'd they go? They're gone. And I thought it was pretty funny, but I just told them, I said, hey, don't worry. You know, the stars, they're there, but they're just covered by the clouds. They're there, but they're just covered by the clouds. And the same way, believer, child of God, the same way, the peace of God, it's already given to us, you know. It will always be there for you. Sometimes we need to get the clouds out of the way. Sometimes it's just a little cloudy and we can't see, but the peace of God is there because he is who he is and he's done what he's done. So let's remember to think upon who our God is, to think upon what he's done for us, and then thank him as we pray our way through this life. Enjoy his presence and thank him for who he is. Because in his presence, guys, we will find the peace of God, a peace that defies outward circumstances, a peace that surpasses our understanding, a peace that is beyond a measure, and we will get to join Paul and Horatio and say, Lord, it is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. Let me pray, and then we will close out in worship. Well, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this peace. We thank you that you have dealt with our past. You've given us a future, Lord, and even today, Lord, you have brought us into your presence. And you desire simply to have a relationship with us, Lord. And so I pray that through the trials and hardships of life, as they will get hard, and there will be evils that do come upon us, Lord, I pray that we as your sons and daughters would look to you, that we would never, ever doubt you, but we would trust in you, rely upon you to be our strength and our wisdom and our comfort. Lord, we thank you and just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.